What is going on? Thank you for tuning in. It is the 6th annual The MMA Podcast Awards, a black tie affair. Like we said on the last podcast, me and Pat both here, Don and Art Tuxes, if you're not dressed formally, I'm sorry, but we're going to need you to pause it, go out to your men's warehouse, go out to your women's warehouse. I don't know where the fuck you women wear dresses, but you're probably not a woman if you're listening to a MMA podcast. We hope you're dressed up. It is a black tie soiree. We're going to be breaking down the male fighter of the year, female fighter of the year, fight of the year, knockout, submission, event, tons of other stuff. Joined, like I said, by the co-host with the most P-Money. He's on Twitter at Sweet Pappy Jones. Pat, what's good, my brother?
J-Dub, it's the MMA Podcast Awards. Oh, it's a fabulous Friday. Very excited to be here with you, Jakey. The 6th annual Player Haters Ball. Oh, hey. Oh, sorry, got a little mixed up there.
This is actually the 7th. I did the math wrong. This is because 2013 would be the first one because we started in 2012. Oh. So 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This is 9.
You're right. Wow, 7th annual. Ooh. Oh my goodness, this is. I'm even more amped up now. You know, lucky number 7. Holy smokes! I think 2018 was a bang up year, real banner year for MMA. Good stuff going all across, not just UFC, but had some of the smaller promotions really doing some good things. Bellator, PFL started to come into their own there, and great stuff. Definitely no shortage of selections to choose from in all the categories for the TMP Awards 2019.
And yeah, like I said, I previewed some of the categories. We'll probably pick or save the high-profile ones, the Fighters of the Year, both male and female Fight of the Year, for the very end. But what do we start off with? A underrated one are the submissions. We have a lot of finishes. I think we picked out a best submission and best knockout of the year. You know what? I'm going to throw a curveball here. Before we get into the best knockout and submission, let's go to best event of the year. We had a lot of interesting events, a lot of controversial events. Obviously, UFC 223, Habib versus Iaquinta. We all remember all the drama going down in that early April event from the whole bus incident, Conor showing up and throwing a metal dolly through the window of a bus. Habib originally supposed to fight Tony Ferguson. Tony trips over a wire, is pulled from it. Max Holloway is plugged in at the very last second, and then the New York Commission decides that he's not fit to fight. Then they try and, I think, put Anthony Pettis on it. Pettis wanted more money, so they go to Paul Felder. The commission won't let them put Felder on the fight because he's not ranked in their ranking system. They're completely arbitrary BS ranking system. So the 7th person down the line, or however many people I just went over, Al Iaquinta headlines UFC 223, the shit show that was, going all the way up to the shit show that was just this past Saturday with Jon Jones getting popped for having picograms in his system and then moving the event at the last minute. You had a historic card in Stipe versus DC 2 champ squaring off there in International Fight Week in Vegas. A lot of really, really good events in 2018. Before I make my pick, I kind of threw out some of the nominations. I don't think any of those, I don't know, those were the kind of notable cards. But as far as what were the best cards, I don't know. You had a few Fox cards that were pretty fun. Obviously, the pay-per-views stand out because they have the talent. What did you go with for event of the year, Pat?
Well, Jake, since you're mentioning some of the more, Notable events, or maybe some of the more infamous events. I just got to give a quick honorable mention. Big shout out to UFC Fight Night 128, Barbosa versus Lee, April 21st, 2018, Atlantic City, New Jersey. Shocking that there would be so much shadiness going down in Atlantic City. Ricky Simon being given a win over Merab Dvalishvili. First of all, this was ruled a TKO by technical submission at the end of round three. I don't know. Usually, if it's a technical submission, it's a submission and not a TKO. But, anyways, anybody who remembers that one, that was incredibly shady. Not to mention Luan Chagas basically throwing the fight. He took a kick to the body that looked like it was a toe and his belly button, and he just threw himself on the floor. It looked like one of the absolute shadiest events I had seen in quite some time. Shouts out to Barbosa versus Lee. Also, shouts out to UFC 222, Cyborg versus Kunitskaya. Five split decisions on that card. Very sketchy night for the judges. I don't recall clearly how those ended up going. I feel like most of those still ended up going the right way, but incredibly sketchy. Five split decisions on that card. Amazing. But as far as my card of the year overall, as far as good stuff, not just shady BS, I probably got to put UFC 224, Nunes versus Pennington. There was 13 fights. There was 11 finishes. It was just nonstop action the whole time. It's so rare you see a fight card where you get that much action. Usually it's just a decision fest altogether. But I mean, you have Lyoto Machida front kicking Vitor Belfort's face off. John Lineker, KO and Brian Kelleher, Mackenzie Dern, subbing Amanda Bobby Cooper, Amanda Nunes beating the ever-loving you-know-what out of Raquel Pennington. I mean, it was submissions, it was KOs, fantastic KOs. Eliseu Zaleski dos Santos, KO'd Sean Strickland with a spinning wheel kick. Fantastic. Just a great card overall. I say that one's getting my vote for card of the year.
Man, there were a few events I wanted to pick. UFC 220, great event. Stipe Miocic defends against Francis Ngannou. DC defends against Volkan Ozdemir. Calvin Kattar really puts his name out there with a TKO in the third round. You had over in Bellator. That UFC or that Bellator 192 card was so fun. You had Chael beating Rampage, Rory McDonald in a fight of the year candidate against Douglas Lima. That went all 25 minutes. My Michael Chandler went 15 minutes against Goity Yamaguchi. Aaron Pico, knockout of the year candidate against Shane Crutchton, 37 seconds in, just absolutely melted, dude. Lots of really good ones here, but I think I'm gonna go with UFC Fight Night 124. This was one of the Fox Sports 1 cards all the way back almost a year ago, January 14th, 2018. It was one of, if not the first card of the year, interesting enough. So we'll see if this upcoming UFC on ESPN Plus card lives up to it, if it was, but the one headlined by Stevens versus Choi, one of the funnest cards, actually was originally supposed to have Hall versus Belfort on it, but that was scrapped. That main event between Jeremy Stevens and Do Ho Choi, absolute barn burner. You had another real fun fight on the co-main between Jessica Rose Clark getting a win against Paige VanZant. Kamaru Usman comes out and puts his name on the map against Emil Meek. Darren Elkins, and a comeback victory against Michael Johnson. Second round rear naked choke. Every fight had a different story. And yeah, that was a really fun card. And I think that one gets my pick for event of 2018. What do you want to do next? I guess we'll. I was kind of teasing the best submission of 2018. we can do that. What is on your radar for best sub of the year?
Well, Jake, you know, man, we had some super chokes this year, some super submissions. For me, though, even though it's not the first one, it's the second one he's pulled off. Alexei Oleinik is getting my submission of the year again. He pulled off another Ezekiel choke, this one against Junior Albini. And this one, first of all, you shouldn't be pulling off Ezekiel chokes in non-gi competition. This is a collar choke where you're really supposed to use the collar to constrict the blood flow to the carotid and the jugular. He has now pulled off two Ezekiel chokes with no gi in MMA competition. And this one against Junior Albini, particularly impressive. You know, Alexei was a little bit busted up. He got busted up early in this fight. He was able to lock up a standing front lock on this Ezekiel choke and then just dropped back to the ground with Junior Albini on top of him, who is a gigantic Brazilian baby Huey looking bastard who wears a diaper coming out to his fights. He should be ashamed of himself, and especially even more so after the way he got choked out like a bum in front of everybody. Alexei locked in the Ezekiel standing up, fell back to the ground with him, and Junior Albini on top of Alexei Oleinik, outweighing him by a good amount, couldn't get away from it, couldn't break out of the hold, and from his back, Alexei Oleinik submits Junior Albini with an Ezekiel choke. Round one, 1 minute and 45 seconds. Submission of the year.
That one for sure was one that I had written down as an honorable mention. Another one in that card I had just been talking about, UFC Fight Night 124, Darren Elkins, that rear naked choke he got was an honorable mention as well. But the one I'm going to go with, the one that sticks out in my mind, was that standing guillotine choke Ilir Latifi subbed OSP out with on UFC on Fox 28, another early fight back all the way in February 2018. Always love just seeing a sub finish as definitive as that, kind of almost reminiscent of Jon Jones and Lyoto Machida, which might be my favorite submission of all time, just the way Lyoto dropped when he let go of the choke, but kind of reminiscent of that. I'm going to go with OSP versus Ilir Latifi for that one. Moving on briskly, what about comeback fighter? We have a couple, you know, we have fighter of the year, but kind of had a couple subcategories. I think we'll do breakthrough in a second here. This isn't breakthrough where, you know, what guy, you know, really wasn't around much in 2017 and really staked his claim in 2018. This is more who was looking like dog shit leading up to the year and really was able to dig themselves out of a hole and come back, as the award name would indicate. Pat, your comeback fighter of 2018.
Jake, for me, comeback fighter of 2018, I got to give the nod to Corey Overtime Anderson. He was 0-2 in 2017. Had a perfect 3-0 in 2018. He beat Pat Cummins, Glover Teixeira, and Ilir Latifi. Definitely tough outs, all three of those guys. All three of those guys definitely very tough at the 205-pound division. I got to say, Corey Anderson is my comeback fighter of the year for the dudes. And if we're going to go over to the ladies, I'd have to say Michelle Watterson, the Karate Hottie, 0-2 in 2017, 2-0 in 2018. I say she gets my nod for female comeback fighter of the year.
Yeah, I don't know if I have a female comeback fighter of the year, but the one guy I circled for my comeback fighter coming into the year on a 3-fight losing streak, got destroyed by Yoel Romero, took a little bit of time off, got finished by Derek Brunson, a lot of people telling him to hang up his gloves, went into 2018 on a 3-fight losing streak. But Lyoto the Dragon Machida then got a big win where he was a huge underdog against Eric Anders, then a TKO victory against Vitor Belfort, and then another decision against Rafael Carvalho. Rode into 2018 on a 3-fight losing streak, now on a 3-fight winning streak. Truly one of the good guys in the sport, so nice to see Lyoto Machida there on the comeback trail, it seems like. What next? We did sub of the year. Let's do knockout of the year. I feel like this is obvious. You know, I mentioned that big Pico knockout. I did just also mention Lyoto Machida. That front kick to the chin on Vitor was a masterpiece. You have Z224, Yoel Romero murdered Luke Rockhold back at UFC 221. Obviously another memorable one just based on the guy who he knocked out was Brian Ortega, knocking out Frank Edgar at UFC 222. But it is really Justin Gaethje. That was another big KO against James Vick. Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. There were a lot of really good knockouts this year. But how do you not pick Yair Rodriguez? Not just because it was with 1 second remaining in a main event fight that Yair would have lost had it gone to the judges' scorecard. And all props to Chan Sung Jung, a fucking warrior, who easily could have just stepped back, been like, nope, I'm going to take this win. Fought like a true soldier and just got hit with one of the most baffling strikes. I mean, I still don't fully understand it, having watched it on replay 100 times. And watching the fight live, it took watching the replay 3 or 4 times to even understood what had happened. And that it looked accidental. It looked so unfathomable. I think in the moment, everyone thought it was an accident. And Yair had just turned an awkward way and not meant to hit him, but kind of hit him in a way that knocked him out and inadvertently won the fight. But then you go and look, and you're like, no, he did this with a lot of intent, just like I mentioned to you earlier, Pat, reminiscent of Anderson Silva's probably decade-old now KO against Tony Freakland back before he joined the UFC in Cage Rage. Just so creative. The elbow knockout that will go down as not just the best of 2018, but one of the best of the decade, if not of all time. Just an all-time KO for Yair Rodriguez, who the UFC had cut before fighting Chan Sung Jung in November, ends up getting one of the most impressive knockouts I've seen in my life. Pat, what's your KO of 2018?
Yeah, Jake, that really was watching live. Oh my goodness, my heart kind of broke. It was I love both fighters, both Yair Rodriguez and Chan Sung Jung, two of my favorite combatants in the UFC. Both have great styles, very creative, great striking. But my goodness, to see someone just be moments away from that victory and to have it just snatched out of their unconscious hands at the literal last second, in a fashion such as that. I mean, Anderson Silva's elbow over Tony Franklin was very similar, but not 100%. This was a 6-12 elbow just thrown at the most ridiculous angle, a perfect 6-12 going straight up. But the way his body was leaning forward, just he was leaning into it in such a way that he brought that elbow up a good 90 degrees and just put it right on the front of Korean Zombie's head. Truly a strike unlike any other. And I feel foolish for actually not picking that for my KO of the year now. I would actually like to change my submission for KO of the year now to that, but I will not. I will simply humbly offer my pick, which was Nico Price defeating Randy Brown. Nico Price was in not the best spot in this fight. It was round two, 1 minute and 1 second at the end of the fight. And Randy Brown kind of had Nico Price stacked up. Nico Price was on the ground. He's scrambling, keeping an active guard there. And he kind of slipped if I recall correctly, it was his left foot. He kind of slipped it behind the ear of Randy Brown, kind of just kind of just to create some tension there. And then he started hammer fisting from off of his back. And literally the first hammer fist, he put it right on his jaw. He was unconscious immediately. And he put a couple more on him. First time I'd ever seen anybody knocked unconscious when their opponent was hammer fisting them from the bottom. In all the years I've been watching mixed martial arts, truly one of the most unique knockouts I'd ever had. Granted, circumstances nowhere near what they were for Yair Rodriguez versus Chan Sung Jung. And that one was actually, I dare say, equally as creative, equally as unique, just about. But I can't change my pick yet. Nico Price over Randy Brown was my selection there, with an honorable mention to Jeremy Stevens over Josh Emmett. Oh my goodness.
Another big boy KO right there. What else do we have? I think that brings us to Breakout Fighter of the Year. Now, this isn't comeback. This isn't just straight Fighter of the Year. This is, like I said, a guy we hadn't heard much of in 2017 put his name on the map in 2018. Pat, who you got?
Well, Jake, I'm flying a little bit under the radar for my MMA podcast awards this year, I believe. For myself, I'm going with a gentleman who literally stormed into the UFC. It was June of 2018 when he made his UFC debut. He already has three decisive, definitive wins against very tough competition. That is Peter Yan. This gentleman, he KO'd Ruto Ishihara in his UFC debut, had a decision in a crazy war with Jin Su Sun, and then just a couple days ago, TKO Douglas Silva de Andrade in a gnarly battle at UFC 232, which we spoke about briefly there. Just an amazing performance for Peter Yan, and the way he stormed onto the scene, really looking like a very solid prospect for 135 pounds. And you know, now that we're possibly going to be seeing the absolution of the UFC's flyweight division, I think that may put some more eyes back on bantamweight. Peter Yan is definitely going to be one of the people to check out at 135 in 2019.
Yeah, he a guy who recently fought on that UFC 232 card we broke down a couple days ago. For my breakout fighter, there were a few I had picked out, and I wasn't sure at first. I like Lionheart Smith, who, after losing to Thiago Santos earlier in the year, decides to move up, gets three wins in a row, all of a sudden finds himself maybe next in line for a title shot against John Jones. You have Alexander Hernandez, who really not many people had heard about him back in 2017. Gets a big win against Beniel Darush. Big win against Olivier Aubon Mercier. Next thing you know, he's lined up to fight Donald Cerrone in just a couple weeks. This is going to be a very big fight, a very winnable fight for Alexander Hernandez. But I think it's hard to not give this to Israel Adesanya, who signed with the UFC in 2018, made his UFC debut in February 2018, is 4-0 since, finishing Rob Wilkinson, getting a decision victory against Marvin Vettori and Brad Tavares, and then most recently a round one finish against Derek Brunson. And he is confirmed to fight Anderson Silva at UFC 234 in February, and will be a huge, huge fight for him. He'll be definitely in the running for Fighter of the Year in 2019 if he can start off his year with an early win against one of the greatest all time to do it. He's undefeated. Guy's got a lot of panache, both with his skill set inside the ring and his ability to be very charming in interviews outside the ring. I think unless something unforeseen happens, I think he's on a crash course to fight Robert Whittaker in 2019. And talk about, you know, a clash of styles. You have the Aussie against the New Zealander. You have two guys who are absolutely fantastic at what they do in the cage. And that would be a fantastic fight. And I think, I feel like that will be one of the best fights of 2019. But yeah, I think you got to give it to Izzy Adesanya here for Breakout Fighter of the Year. Which I guess leaves us with the big three, male fighter, female fighter, and fight of the year. We'll start with fight of the year. A lot of good ones. This was the year of the rematch. We had a lot of really fun rematches. We had Eddie Alvarez versus Dustin Poirier 2. We had Doug Rose versus Ioana 2. We had Henry Cejudo versus Demetrius Johnson 2. We had Robert Whittaker versus Yoel Romero 2. We had a lot of fights just with guys who have been around for a while, but had never fought one another. Tony Ferguson fighting Tony Pettis back at UFC 229. Tony winning that fight with a corner stoppage. A low-key, really fun fight. Everyone thought that Zabit Magomed Shapirov was going to run a train through Kyle Bochniak. Kyle Bochniak made that a very interesting fight that Zabit did win pretty decisively, but Kyle definitely gave him a run for his money. Just a lot of really, really fun fights. What else did we see? Obviously, I mentioned that KO between Yair Rodriguez and Chan Sung Jung. That fight on its own probably could merit a fight of the year. A lot of years just because of the wild way it ended and the, 25 minutes leading up to it was one of the most action-packed fights we've ever seen. Hard to make a choice. You have Lima versus McDonald, like I mentioned, in that one fun Bellator 192 card. Who's your fight of the year, Pat?
Yeah, Jake, it was an insanely hard year to pick fight of the year. I mean, as you referenced, your card of the year was the first fight card of the year, and that was actually an honorable mention for one of my fights of the year, Jeremy Stephens defeating Du Ho Choi in the main event, first card of the year of 2018. Round two, TKO, punches and elbows. Man, it was great back and forth, great action. And I feel like almost every card that we had had one of those crazy back and forth, neither guy gave an inch kind of wars. I feel like there was just an abundance of those this year. We were definitely incredibly lucky as far as that went. It made it really hard for me to pick. But actually, I did end up going with the aforementioned Yair Rodriguez over Chan Sung Jung, just because all the implications of that elbow came with. The statement that made, the main event victory, snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. I mean, that was just quite the crescendo to the card. Fantastic performance from both of these guys. And it was definitely back and forth as the fight went. It was definitely going the Korean Zombie's way. At least I think most of us would agree. It was certainly looking like it was going to be going his way on the scorecards, but Yair Rodriguez, it was certainly not a blowout. It wasn't a 50-45 or a 50-43 or anything like that. It was close. I was, I don't recall my 100% scoring, but I would say it was, 48-47 kind of fight there. And last second, literally 1 second left to go with that 6-12 elbow that no one in the world has ever seen, that surely everybody's going to be throwing in the gym these days. Everybody's going to be tearing their rotator cuffs, throwing stupid stuff like that in the gym in this year. I can assure you, I hope everybody's working on their yoga, getting that flexibility and that range of motion up. Definitely got to ease into things like that. But for me, just the ending, the implications, that was quite the fight and quite the end. I have to say, Yair Rodriguez over Chan Sung Jung was my fight of the year for 2018.
Yeah, that's a hard one to not pick, but I think for mine, I'm going to go with two guys who seem to find themselves in this category every single year just because they go in every time. I feel like these guys are in fights that are nominees for fight of the year more often than their fights aren't nominees for fight of the year. And that's Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje. absolutely throwing down, a back-and-forth war. It looked like Gaethje was putting his foot on the accelerator, and next thing you know, Dustin Poirier, absolute gamer, would love to see him fight Connor soon, takes the victory from the jaws of defeat and defeats. Justin Gaethje has shown time and time again that when you put him in those big fight situations against guys like Eddie Alvarez, guys like Justin Gaethje, he bites down on that mouthpiece and finds a way to get the victory. Definitely a nominee for Fighter of the Year as we go into male and female. We'll start with female Fighter of the Year. And a lot, you know, we had a lot of good years. Jessica Andrade looked good. Nina Ansaroff, partner of Amanda Nunez, big win against Claudia Gadelha. Thug Rose getting that rematch win against Joanna. Valentina Shevchenko rebounding from that loss against Amanda Nunez and becoming the flyweight champion. But, you know, we spoke her praise on Wednesday talking about UFC 232 and Amanda Nunez's rise to being the best female fighter in the world. And that's exactly the throne the Lioness stepped up to at UFC 232. It's hard to not say she is the female fighter of 2018 with a huge win against Chris Cyborg. At least for now, you know, things change and who knows who we'll be calling the greatest female fighter of all time in a few years. But at least right now, January 2019, it's very hard to argue against the idea of Amanda Nunez being the best female fighter in the history of the sport. You know, she's the only female champ now. And not just that. You look at her strength of schedule. You look at who she's defeated. Just about every name that you would have in the argument against her being the best ever, she's beaten, and she's probably beaten most of them handily. So, or she has beaten most of them handily. So, I think it's hard to go against the Lioness. I think it was Aljamain Sterling who tweeted out, she's the GWOT, the G-W-O-T, the greatest woman of all time. The Lioness, undisputedly the GWOT in my 2018 Female Fighter of the Year.
No, Jake, Amanda Nunes absolutely has to be Fighter of the Year for 2018 as far as the female fighters go. First female champ of all time. That in and of itself certainly solidifies her spot. She defended the women's 135-pound belt earlier this year, came back and got a gigantic TKO victory over Cyborg, a loss that Cyborg hasn't experienced the likes of in who knows how long. It's been decades since she's experienced a loss like that. Even in Cyborg's most recent kickboxing fight when she lost, she did not get knocked out like that. She got outpointed, but my goodness, Amanda Nunes, with those little gloves, she put it on Cyborg, something fierce. And I mean, absolutely, that was a victory in and of itself. You got to give her Female Fighter of the Year just for being the first woman to knock out Cyborg in a fashion such as that. I mean, really, there's been some very good honorable mentions. For example, Valentina Shevchenko, who recently captured the women's flyweight belt this year, but Amanda Nunes has beat her twice, the women's 125-pound champion. So you have Amanda Nunes, who's twice beat the women's 125-pound champ, defended her 135-pound belt, defeated the scariest woman to ever compete at 145 pounds in women's mixed martial arts. Man, she's definitely got women, or she definitely has my vote for a female mixed martial artist of the year. And, you know, you're right, Jake. Definitely hard to argue against her being the GWOT.
GWOT status. Final selection, male fighter of the year for 2018. A lot of successful years. A lot of new champs. I'll let you set the table for this one. Who are your honorable mentions and ultimately your fighter of the year for 2018?
Well, Jake, my honorable mention for fighter of the year for 2018, Israel Adesanya. He was very close to being my breakthrough fighter of the year, but he was just in such close contention for fighter of the year overall. 4-0 in the UFC, looking very impressive so far. Two finishes, two decisions, and with a dynamic style that's really looking like he's going to be giving some people problems over the coming years. But much like our female fighter of the year for 2018, our male fighter of the year for 2018, or at least my male fighter of the year for 2018, very hard to argue against. That is Daniel Cormier, the other champ of the year. Three wins himself, two at heavyweight, one at light heavyweight. Regained his light heavyweight title, then defeated Stipe Miocic, then beat Derek Lewis to defend his heavyweight belt already. So he's recaptured one belt, captured and then defended another one in 2018. Very good for three fights in the year. That's accomplishing a lot in just three fights. And Daniel Cormier, I don't think there's any fighter, or at least there's not a whole lot of fighters that get as much love as DC. Granted, he has gotten a lot of heat as well, but I think nowadays people are kind of coming over to DC's side. You know, he's just a good dude who can really scrap. And man, talk about a guy who has GOAT claims. He's certainly got claims to be one of the greatest of all time himself. In the admittedly short history of mixed martial arts, there have not been many fighters greater than Daniel Cormier, and there haven't been many people that have beaten as many fighters that have claimed to GOAT status as Daniel Cormier. You want to look at Anderson Silva, has definite claims to the GOAT status. Cormier trounced him. Daniel Henderson, one of the original champs. Cormier absolutely big brothered him. I mean, the list goes on and on. Fedor Emelianenko. Wait a second. Am I hallucinating? I am sick. I apologize. I am recovering from a bit of an illness right now. I think I may be fabricating that. Daniel Cormier.
No, they. Fedor. I know. No, in Strikeforce, he fought Bigfoot. I think he fought.
Yeah, he fought Bigfoot. Josh Barnett. The Strikeforce Heavyweight Grand Prix tournament,
spiked him through the cage.
Yeah, that was insane. The way he just picked up and drilled that massive Josh Barnett. I mean, incredible. Daniel Cormier, his resume speaks for itself. What he's done for 2018 speaks for itself. He's my fighter of the year for 2018, Jake.
Yeah, you know, I had a few other names I was considering. Henry Cejudo with a big win over Demetrius Johnson. Just that win alone, I think, put him in the running. Khabib Nurmagomedov, I think, with maybe the most notable win of the year over Conor McGregor. But how do you not give it to DC, who came off 2017? I mean, was crying in 2017, just, you know, got brutally finished by Jones, and came back in 2018, puts claim back to the 205 belt, moves up, super fight against Stipe, finishes him, and then defends the belt, I think becomes the first champ to defend both belts, if I'm not mistaken. I think every other champ was only able to defend at one division, if they even defended all at all. GSP only defended welterweight. BJ only defended lightweight. I forget which. I think Randy only defended 205, and Connor didn't defend either weight. So Daniel becoming the first champ to defend at both weights in defeating Derek Lewis. Kind of also set the tone for what he wants in 2019. And like I mentioned on Wednesday's podcast, I think has the chips in hand to get what he wants, a la a fight against John Jones at heavyweight. Compared to 205, you know, as much as people want to say DC has no chance against John Jones, you know, he had his moments against Jones in that second fight before the finish, And I think DC is a much stronger fighter at heavyweight. I feel like he has a much better chance of defeating Jon Jones. And in a trilogy fight, if DC is able to get a win over Jon Jones, considering the second fight, the only finish is now a no contest because of a drug test. And the first fight also had drug test clouds over it, albeit not PEDs, but an out-of-competition failed test for steroids. You have the time they were supposed to fight at UFC 200, drug test issues again. I feel like DC could put a claim, if he beat Jon Jones a third time, that he was the better man, you know, didn't ever have this cloud over him, and for sure could put in a stake as the greatest of all time there. But like you said, you know, he is turning 40 in just a couple months and has said that there is for sure a timer on his career. So we will see what goes down in 2019. If it's half as interesting a year as 2018, then we're in for some shit, brother. Anything else before we end the awards here, before we turn the lights back on? And everyone goes home a little buzzed.
You know, I think we checked off all the boxes, Jake. Another successful the MMA Podcast Awards, the seventh one in a row. God bless, Jake. Always, always a pleasure doing this with you, brother.
I couldn't have done it without you, Pat. And I couldn't have done it without you, the listener. We appreciate the fuck out of it. Erase and re-download and unsubscribe and resubscribe and tell a friend about the podcast if you like. We appreciate all the love we have been getting on the YouTube, on the Twitter. Maybe going to try in 2019 New Year's resolution to actually update the website and the Facebook. Yeah, like I said, the last podcast, 2019. We are appreciative, and just like you got our backs, we have your backs. We're all a big family. We love the shit out of you, and we will be back in the near future. I don't know if we'll break it down next episode, but like I said, we have that big UFC on ESPN Plus card around the corner. That's going to be fun. Alex Hernandez versus Cerrone, TJ Dillashaw. Looking to be the seventh champ, taking on Henry Cejudo at 125. Going to be a lot of fun. 2019, going to be a great year. We love the shit out of you. And until then, we gone.